You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. Hey, Preppers and Patriots. I hope summer is off to a good start for you. All is well here on the homestead. We've had a fairly long dry spell. We're finally getting a little rain right now. So the garden's been looking a little weary. I've tried to stay on top of watering, but that involves me hauling a bucket from the pond, so it doesn't happen as often as it should. The birds and the deer have left us a few blackberries, which are starting to get ripe. I had an opportunity to pick a few of them with my daughter the other day, and that was just absolutely an incredible experience. Everything's new to her, and it just melts my heart to get to do stuff like that with her. So I'm feeling very, very blessed right now doing things like that with her on the farm. Speaking of blessed, I'm absolutely ecstatic about the states around the country which have been fighting back against the demonic practice of murdering babies in their mother's womb. As you know, the retribution of a just God over the innocent blood shed in America is one of my biggest concerns when it comes to prepping. And preparing against the wrath of the Almighty is a pretty tall order, so anything that could potentially postpone our well-deserved day of reckoning is cause for celebration in my book. The media doesn't really talk much about it except to demonize conservatives for wanting to unjustly force women to actually protect the living being in their wombs. And while rape and incest make up roughly 1% of abortions, it's the poster child excuse of why conservatives are so evil. I feel horrible for any woman who's been molested or raped, but adding the guilt of murdering an innocent person who happened to come into the world as a result of that crime isn't going to make the incident any less traumatic for the victim. It just adds to the list of victims. And here's a quick list of the states who've passed the heartbeat bill. Kentucky, Wisconsin, North Dakota, and Arkansas, they've all passed laws, but those laws have been blocked by the courts. Georgia, Ohio, and Mississippi have also signed laws, and to be sure, those laws are going to be challenged as well. So this fight is just getting started. It's a long way from over. South Carolina, Tennessee, and Louisiana have similar legislation and process, and so we're going to see how those states shake out as well. Then, of course, is our all-star champions of the month, Alabama, who passed an outright ban on abortions. So congratulations to you folks. May God bless you, bless your state, and everyone who fought so hard to make this law happen. One of the champions credited with getting this firestorm started is Janet Porter of Faith to Action. Faith to Action's listed as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. So to me, that's the equivalent of the good housekeeping seal of approval. If they've managed to get on that list, you know they're doing some really important work. In handing out our awards, we can't forget the Center for Medical Progress for their stellar investigative journalism into the sinister activities of premeditated parenthood. It was those grotesque undercover videos of people offering to sell the dead bodies of murdered babies, which seemed to help jar conservative America out of her complacent slumber, in which she'd sat silently by while 60 million American citizens had been murdered in their mother's womb, with little more than occasional peep about overturning Roe v. Wade. As I said before, we know that none of the laws on the books are going to stand unless the Supreme Court decides to uphold them. It's in this moment that we see why sometimes you have to choose the cleanest dirty shirt at election time. Trump may not be a Sunday school boy, but with Justices Gorsuch and Kavanaugh instead of whoever Hillary would have put in, America's unborn have a fighting chance in these good states. Just a couple of weeks back, the Supreme Court voted to uphold Indiana's law, which requires aborted babies to be disposed of with the same dignity as any other human corpse. So while children having the same privileges as a death row inmate is a far cry from the full protection of the U.S. Constitution, it's a step in the right direction, and it offers hope for the weightier decisions of the court that we know are going to be coming in the months and years ahead. So you may never see me wearing a Keep America Great hat, but you better believe President Trump is going to get my vote again next year. And if it's for no other issue, I'll be voting for him over this abortion issue, because we're going to have more Supreme Court nominations in the next 4 years. Ginsburg, for one, you know, she's got one foot on a banana peel, the other one in a grave with a 25-pound weight on her ankle. So I can't see her lasting much longer, certainly not another 5 years. So that's at least one nomination the next president's going to have, and possibly many, many more. So this is going to be a very, very important election. And, you know, we can have our disagreements within the party, but this issue of murdering children has to be solved before we can get on to squabbling about all the lesser issues in our country. Also, I know how hard it is to allocate funds to something that feels like a lost cause, but when we think about charitable giving, we want to put our money somewhere that we feel like it's going to make a difference. Right now, the abortion fight has some traction. We could actually see real change in our country. So I hope you'll pray about directing some of your charitable giving towards your favorite pro-life organization. And just as I've mentioned, I think Faith to Action and the Center for Medical Progress are both very worthy organizations. And, you know, I even think political contributions, when we've got something like this on the table, I think that's money well spent that God would bless. You know, even if that means cutting back from what you're typically giving to your church on Sunday, more than a new HD projector or a new soundboard or new pew cushions or a raise for the pastor, your church needs the blessings of God. And I believe nothing will bring that about more readily than supporting a cause that is so near and dear to God's heart. So does that mean if Roe v. Wade is overturned, am I going to shut down PREP or Recon? Does that mean we're out of the woods because now we've got the blessings of God and you know, we're not getting ready to be smashed by his wrath? Absolutely not, because even if that happens, we'll still be $23 trillion in debt. And we'll still be in the process of driving the final nail in the coffin of the U.S. dollar. God's blessings do not negate the biblical principle of you reap what you sow. We are going to experience a catastrophic financial collapse that will take the breath away from the historians who write about it afterwards. Nothing's going to stop that. We've crossed the point of no return. And this isn't a problem that's solvable at this point. But I'd much rather go through the coming bankruptcy of our nation and the currency collapse that's going to go along with that. I'd rather go into all of that with the help of the Almighty than to have to suffer through it with his back turned to us because of the innocent blood that covers our country from coast to coast. In addition to supporting pro-life organizations financially, keep these people in your prayers. Every lawmaker and public pro-life advocate is going to come under fire from Satan and his minions from the left during this fight. In other prepper news, you may have seen that a good portion of the internet went down on June 2nd. Gmail, YouTube, and many of the Google services were unavailable for several hours. So, people with smart homes were locked out of their homes. Many of them were unable to open their front door to get in. Others were unable to operate their air conditioners, and it was a pretty warm day, June 2nd, and much of the country. And I suspect some of them were wondering if their homes or their owners were really all that smart. So dependency on technology, it's an insidious threat. Some techs, it's a necessary evil, you know, as it's getting harder and harder to function our world without it. But, you know, keep your backup systems as far away from the web as possible. And as for me, you know, I think anytime analog's a choice, I'm going to go that route. You know, I'd rather have a key in my pocket than a code that can be... that could be hacked. So, you know, and I definitely don't want anybody else being able to break into my phone and turn my heat up in the middle of the summer. So I understand early adapters and people that are just really, really into tech, but you know, you put yourself at risk. As I've said before, you know, I believe in keeping some small percentage of your physical cash currency outside of the banking system for a catastrophic cyber attack or EMP or anything like that. We make ourselves very, very vulnerable. And as I said, some of it's a necessary evil, but some of it we can limit how vulnerable we make ourselves. And this story reminds us of that. And on the subject of cyber vulnerabilities, the final installment of my Cyber Armageddon series is out. It's in paperback, audio, and Kindle. So those of you who wait until the series is complete so you don't have to wait for the next book, you're now free to binge through the entire trilogy at once. It's all available. The folks that have been reading that have really, really enjoyed it. So check it out if you get a chance. And, you know, if you're into audio, I think you'll like the audiobook presentations of those books. I've been wanting to talk to you about martial arts for a little while now. I particularly wanted to discuss why I think it's part of a good preparedness plan. If your head's anywhere other than stuck in the sand, it's no surprise to you that we're living in an increasingly violent world, and it's also no shocker that political division is getting wider and wider. These latest developments with the abortion bans that we've been talking about, they've shown us how visceral the less hatred for us, how bad that really is. And I know, they have those coexist stickers on their cars, which would lead you to believe that they're highly tolerant of other people with views that differ from their own, but nothing could be farther from the truth. And I think the 2016, I think that election proved it. Trump supporters were physically assaulted, harassed, and attacked with impunity as many liberal mayors and police chiefs told their law enforcement personnel to stand down and let the hate be vented. I'd like to think that they'll be a little more civil in next year's election, but somehow, call it a gut instinct perhaps, I seriously doubt it. Many of you have your concealed carry permits, and that's great. If you have the ability to obtain a concealed carry permit, I'd really encourage you to get that done before you do anything else. And a right that you don't exercise is a right that's already gone. So, why would a person need to study martial arts? For one, you can't take a gun to a lot of places. Federal buildings, courthouses, post offices, stadiums, airports. That's just a few of the growing number of places where your Second Amendment rights have been completely abolished. Secondly, you don't want to shoot everybody. Killing another human being should be your last resort rather than your first and only option. Yes, if someone breaks into your home, tries to rob you, or threatens your life or safety, you know, maybe the world would be a better place without them. But if some ne'er-do-well makes a crass comment to your wife or daughter, you probably don't want to serve the rest of your life in prison for defending their honor. On the other hand, sticking your foot in their mouth might be very rewarding and worth a night in the county lockup. Thirdly, even if you're a law enforcement officer, and in some states, especially if you're a law enforcement officer, you can spend a significant amount of time in jail over a justified shooting. What I like to call the Trayvon effect is when you're well within your rights to use lethal force, yet because of our overly politicized society, you still go to jail because the powers that be quickly cave in to pressures of groups claiming that one of their members was targeted because of this or that. George Zimmerman was completely cleared by police for shooting Trayvon Martin until Al Sharpton and everybody else began inciting mob rule. If you find yourself in that position, you'll be spending a lot of time with some pretty violent people. Jail is a good place to know how to handle yourself because you won't have a gun while you're there. But it doesn't have to be a race issue. No terrorist organization causes politicians to quake in their shoes quite like the LGBTQ mafia. What happens if your attacker happens to be a crossdresser? You'll be convicted of a hate crime for sure. Fourthly, martial arts are a fantastic way to keep in shape, gain flexibility, and increase your confidence for any type of confrontation. So those of you who have read my Cyber Armageddon series probably noticed that Kate uses jiu-jitsu in a move or two in each book. Jiu-jitsu is primarily a ground fighting art, which uses chokes, arm, wrist, legs, and ankle locks as a way to get your opponent to submit or tap out. Of course, when chokes are pressed beyond the opponent's willingness to tap out, it generally results in them passing out and losing consciousness. Locking joints and limbs can result in broken bones, sprains, torn ligaments, and dislocations. So practicing techniques in the gym, you have the safety of being able to tap out. But as you can imagine, if you ever have to use those techniques in the street, you can quickly persuade your attacker that you're really not worth the effort. If you've watched any MMA fights, most of what you see when people go to the ground is jiu-jitsu. Likewise, the majority of the fighters you see in MMA have studied Muay Thai for their boxing techniques. Muay Thai also incorporates kicks, but some fighters study Taekwondo or Karate for a larger variety of kicks than what Muay Thai offers. The takedowns are usually either judo or wrestling techniques. So in an MMA fight, it's going to be the person strongest in one of those disciplines who decides whether the fight's going to be conducted standing up or grappling down on the mat. And a lot of the MMA gyms now are teaching wrestling. Judo can be studied on its own, or some jiu-jitsu teachers incorporate judo for the takedowns in their class. Other jiu-jitsu teachers stick strictly to ground fighting. So if you live in an area with multiple jiu-jitsu gyms and that's something that you think you'd be interested in, I definitely recommend going with one who teaches takedowns if you're studying it for self-defense. 2018 was the year that I decided it was time to dip my toe in and start experimenting with martial arts. I began taking jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai boxing, and I absolutely loved jiu-jitsu. But the impact from the Muay Thai boxing quickly took its toll on my shoulders. After about 2 months, I developed a really horrible case of shoulder impingements, which caused so much pain on my shoulders that I had trouble sleeping. It's a lot of force-on-force punching. The gym where I studied taught about 80% punching and 20% kicking for Muay Thai. So without being able to punch, I had to drop out of that. Additionally, the pain was just too severe. I couldn't continue studying jiu-jitsu either. I had to quit just about everything that required upper body. I couldn't do any more push-ups, no more bench presses, shoulder presses, nothing like that. I spent roughly a year doing sort of self-guided physical therapy exercises using stretchy bands and doing different stretches to help pull those front muscles out to break up that impingement. Finally, I felt like it was under control enough to get back to training. So this winter, while I was in Florida, I picked up where I'd left off with jiu-jitsu. When we got back to the mountains, I wasn't able to find a good gym for jiu-jitsu. So I started looking around for other options. And I knew I was finished with all types of boxing because of my shoulders. They just can't handle that impact. So I began looking for a discipline which would focus more on kicking and maybe limit how much I had to do with my arms. So I looked first for Taekwondo. There was no Taekwondo gyms in my area. And my two choices came down to Kung Fu or Karate. So what I did is I read up on the instructors rather than choosing the discipline that maybe would be the best fit. I wanted the best instructor because that's really, really going to be important, is to have somebody that knows what they're doing, that's very, very proficient on the art, and that's what you're going to get the most out of. And that's probably also, if you're an older person, and this is your first, you're just getting into this, you're going to get injured a lot less being under the instruction of somebody that's been doing this for decades rather than somebody that's been doing it for a couple of years. So I've been training in Kung Fu for about 4 months now, and I'm really enjoying it. I've learned a few good kicks, and it's also been a really fantastic workout and helps to keep me challenged. I've got a lot of things that I do around the farm, but then there's times where I'm really focused on the books and I'm spending a lot of time in the chair and not moving a lot. So it helps in those periods. It helps to break up my sedentary lifestyle as well. As I think I've said before on the show, I'm in my late 40s and I really wish I would have started when I was younger, but I'm glad I didn't wait any longer than I did. Even so, I've seen men and women alike who are much older than me taking classes. So perhaps you're past your prime, but I would really encourage you to check out a few classes to see if there's a program that you can do. Most gyms are going to let everybody move at their own pace. If you're 75, most instructors aren't going to require you to ever do a standing backflip. So, you know, they're going to let you do what you can do. And it's just like everything else in prepping. You know, you do what you can, don't do what you can't. And just because you can't do everything doesn't mean you can't do anything. Listen to your body. It's going to tell you when you're going too far, and it's going to let you know when it's okay to push just a little bit further. And even if I never have to use it, I'm convinced this is a very worthwhile investment because of my increased stamina, increased flexibility, and confidence. So check it out. I think that you'll be glad that you did. And I hope you've enjoyed this month's show. And we'll talk again in July. God bless and happy prepping.